Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 11. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Do I hate, God says. It says in verse 10 of chapter 9 in Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." In 14:27 in Proverbs, it says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." The remnant were affrighted, but they got up and gave glory to God. They said, "I'm afraid, but I'm going to speak. I'm going to take up the mantle that these two men gave their lives for. And now that I've seen that Jesus rose from the dead, and now that I've seen that these men have physically risen from the dead, now that I backtrack and see all those people who died, they rose from the dead, that were dead before them, and then those that were living were taken. I see it. I don't care. Take me. I'll go right to the guillotine. Where do I sign up? Put me in, coach." Listen, the church has failed to be the church for decades at least. Because we got comfortable. We got coddled. We don't see it as a clash of kingdoms. We see it as, well, what can I do today? What am I going to do today? It was not about who needs Jesus. I wasn't going out maybe looking for the mercy of the Lord. Seeing people's eyes and seeing them in a way that the Spirit let me know. That person would get saved if I could talk to them. That's what we're supposed to have always been doing. Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Do we know what we're doing here? Do we know? Is this truly a holy band of soldiers? The Bible says the gates of hell can't prevail against us. That means we're on the offensive. We go past those gates because we have been given power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. Do you get discouraged? Yeah, we do. But we were cast down, but not destroyed, Paul said. The Bible says, "Though the outward man perishes, the inner man is renewed day by day." Paul said at one point in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We despaired even of life. He said, we were so down, we just didn't know what to do. He said, but God let it be so that we might not trust in ourselves, but in Him, but listen, that raises the dead. When you feel despairing, and you feel like you're all done, spent, you don't have anything else, just remember who raises the dead. Because you're done. You spent all your resources. He raises the dead. That's what He does. That's what He did for each believer. We were dead in trespasses and sins. You He hath quickened. You were dead in trespasses. He hath quickened. Now the Bible says, and I find this interesting where God puts it, because He's not really going to get there very quickly, but it's coming. The Bible says, in the same hour there was an earthquake, people of repute were slain. I believe all of these people were people of repute, because these were people who had a name, and the remnant were affrighted because of these people of repute. In other words, these people had just rejoiced that their guy was the guy, and now these guys rose up, so their guy isn't the guy again, 3 days later and a half. And now 7,000 men of repute who were hanging out in the what we call the epicenter where the Antichrist intends to seat himself, gotten these guys out of the way. All of that, this is what he's saying, that they're glorifying God out loud now. And in verse 14, the second woe is past. Well, I thought that was past a bit ago. Back in chapter 9, it was still past. The second woe was the war over the water. The first woe was the worst of the worst coming out of the abyss. The second woe is past. He's come a long way since chapter 9. He's trying to show you that the story has been going on underneath. And right here is maybe where we could insert those woes, because things have happened previous and after. I'm telling you, this is very detailed movement forward, backtracking so you'll not miss anything, and then moving forward again. That's what's happening in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, "And the seventh angel sounded." Now we got the trumpet going on. This is that last trumpet, okay, and it's involving the woe. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders," by the way, underline that big time, because this is the church between chapter 3. Okay, 3 was the last mention of the church. You won't see them again until chapter 20. But here they are for a second. The elders are mentioned, and they're up in heaven. Okay, it's them.
They're up in heaven. The 24 elders, the Bible says, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we thank thee, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. I told you a moment ago about how in chapter 4 it was all about you are worthy to take. Now they're saying you have taken. That's the difference. You're worthy. They're saying our consensus is you can do it. The angel on the land and the sea said, here's the scroll. Time will be no more. Delay will be no more. And here the angels and all of the hosts of heaven are rejoicing and they're saying, you have taken. You have taken. So it's a good day for heaven. Okay? Bad day for the earth. Because now, Jesus is rolling up his sleeves. Did you know that the Bible calls Jesus a man of war? Did you know that? People, they like the lowly Jesus. They feel like they can manage him, marginalize him. But listen, you're just tweaking him. And when the lamb gets mad, the one who's willing to die for you, you push it that far, when he gets angry, you're in for it. Okay? The Bible says, he who will come shall come and will not tarry. And that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Bible says, we give thee thanks because you've taken to thee your great power and you have reigned. They say it is a done deal. They're talking about past tense almost. You have taken, you are, I mean, it's done. This is showing us it's behind the scenes. He's done. It's already done. The Bible says, the nations were angry and thy wrath has come. You remember Psalm 2? Why did the heathen rage? The nations, imagine a vain thing. Yeah, they're constantly saying, we'll throw off their cords. That's what the heathen has been doing forever. Just get rid of God, man. Just get rid of God. They did it by trying to crowd him out in the old days. They had Semiramis and Tammuz and the Tower of Babel. Let's come together and make a name for ourselves. And God had confounded the languages so he could get Jesus in the scene here and give people a hope so they didn't have to be perishing into a lake of fire without any rope to grab hold of. So he confounded their languages. By the way, right now you can learn pretty much any language with a program called Babel. Okay, so they're back here. Let's pick that back up. I've got a translator. We had Chinese and Japanese kids. We put on our phone. You know, we couldn't talk to them. They didn't know our language. They were kids coming over for transfer students or whatever it's called, exchange students, and they were in our house. We housed them. But we could talk because I pushed by. I said, they would turn it into Chinese or Japanese. I'm like, wow. No, we've got a day where we've overcome Babel. People are coming together now. Putin can sit down with Biden in the next few days and hear in real time. Bible says in verse 18, the nations were angry. Thy wrath has come. God finally answered their anger. He says, you know, you need to kiss the Son. In fact, why don't you look at it with me real quick? Psalm 2, I think it's important for you to see real quick. Why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands against the Lord and his anointed. That's the Father and the Son. It says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in wrath, vex them in sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. Yet Zion, that's Jesus. Because he's coming, he's going to be there. He was there for a minute. He'll come back and take it for sure. The Bible says, and I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Isn't that cool? What's he going to do? This is still future. He said it in the waters, but he's going to say it in the wrath that comes. He says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise therefore now, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Isn't that good? It goes right to the heart of what we're seeing here. The Bible tells us at the end of the chapter that they were angry, and he rose up, and the Bible says the nations were angry in verse 18, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give rewards unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and that thou shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now, I might visit that a little bit next time we get together, but I just want you to see, destroy them that destroy the earth. This world is messed up, right? They're telling us we've got a green problem, so they're going to fix it by manipulating things. And they've got all kinds of weird things that we don't even know exist or don't exist. We hear about HAARP and changing the weather. So what's going on? And people are like, what? I don't know. But I know who holds tomorrow. I don't care. I know they're destroying the earth. Because they are people who are trying to hit a collider over in CERN in Switzerland. They're trying to open up a rip in the universe. I'm telling you, this world is asking to unleash those demons. They know. I guarantee you somebody in that room told those people who sat on that board, if you open that door, I just want you to read a passage over here just so you know. And I'm telling you, they don't care. And when you see their parade that came out of that Switzerland tunnel when they were celebrating their finishing of it, with the collider is kind of involved in there somehow. Guys, listen. We're living in a real day. Jesus is awesome. He holds it all together with the word of his power. And he's coming again. And honestly, the thing that freaks me out the most is that Israel's the canary in the mine. And they're all taking the vaccination. They're all putting on all of the proper clothing for this world. And I wonder how God feels about that. I wonder if that's not what he says. He that touches thee, Israel, touches the apple of my eye. This world is getting really curious. And I honestly believe Jesus could come at any moment. It's never been this overwhelmingly in my space, and in your space, in our space. Jesus takes his bride out and he unleashes hell on earth. He lets them have their way. And they're not going to be happy. They're going to have buyer's remorse. Many will get saved. But many will perish because they will double down on their false thoughts. They will end up in the Battle of Armageddon thinking they're still going to patriotism, thinking they're still going to win this thing, thinking their guy's still the guy. I'm telling you, the only one who can save from this day in which we live is Jesus. It's not a Republican. It's not a Democrat. It's Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just for a pondering moment. I don't know where you are, but I know that God loves you. I know He sent His Son to die for you. I know He's not willing that any should perish. So if you're not saved yet, you need to be. And you need to understand the gospel properly. There are many false gospels. Paul said to the Corinthians, I fear lest somebody brings you another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus. You'll bear with them, but you won't bear with me, and I'm telling you the gospel. He says in Galatians, if anybody brings you any other gospel than that which we've given unto you, even if it's an angel from heaven, let them be accursed. He says, this is the gospel I've given you, 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins, for over our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Everything was scripted. God has scripted it. And you and I need to be on the ark when the flood comes, because nobody's getting in unless the water starts coming down. We're in the birth pangs mode. You can't not see it. If you need Jesus, just call out to Him right now where you are in your heart of hearts, that sanctuary of your heart. Just tell Him, God, I need to be saved. Forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry. I've ignored you. I've rejected you. I've manipulated my view of you. But I am sorry right now. I take Jesus as my Savior. Lord Jesus, save me. For your sake, you died on the cross for me, and I trust you right now. Put all my trust in you and you alone. Not what I can do. I'm a mess. I need you. And I make my prayer in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you can take Him at His word. And He said, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it's all about right here. That's it. That's the heart surgery He wants to accomplish. Let's stand for prayer, shall we?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.